All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. We praise and magnify your name because, Lord, you are great and you're greatly to be praised. I praise you, I magnify you, I glorify your name. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. And Lord, today we offer this sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. And Lord, we are grateful. We're thankful for your love, your mercy, your grace, your compassion. We thank you for your healing power, the healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for breaking the strongholds of depression and oppression in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord God, that your healing power has been released to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, Lord God, for healing colon cancer being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for that healing manifesting right now. We thank you for prostate cancer being healed in the name of Yeshua, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for cervical cancer being healed right now in the name of Yeshua. God, we thank you for that healing manifesting itself right now. We thank you for healing asthma, asthmatics being healed right now. We thank you for that healing anointing flowing in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you, Father, for those that are in need of the financial miracles. God, release the finances. Lord, let there be a manifestation of the finances, Lord God, for the financial miracles to manifest in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are in need of a new home. Lord, I thank you for putting them in that new home. I thank you for that home, revealing to them, leading and guiding them to the new home. And I thank you for opening the doors and giving them favor, Lord God, that they will be able to walk into the new home. In the name of Yeshua, and God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you because you are great and you're greatly to be praised. Lord, you're worthy of all praise and you're worthy of all glory and you're worthy of all, Lord. I praise you and I magnify your name, Lord, because God, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. And I bless you and I praise you, Lord. Let your blessing be over this broadcast today, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for sending your angels to bind the strong man over this area and over this region that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. We bind the strong man of witchcraft. We bind the strong man of mind control and deception that has been deceiving the people of God. And I cut and I sever the cords, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that people's hearts will be open to hear to receive the gospel of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And Lord, I thank you and I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the precious and the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. As always, it's a blessing to be with you once again to share the Word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. And as always, I am just grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come before you to talk about the goodness of God and the mercy of God. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. Give it to you straight with no sugar added. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. Saints, we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. Returning the Lord Yeshua, His turn is imminent, and it's extremely important that we as the people of Christ, that we are pursuing Him, seeking a relationship with Him, that we come to know Him as our Lord and as our Savior. You know, it's so amazing, you know, when the Easter season comes around, there's so much emphasis and focus on they want to preach about the resurrection when we should be preaching about the resurrection every single Sunday. Every time we take the pulpit or get behind the microphone, we should be talking about the power of the cross and the resurrection and what the resurrection accomplished for us in the body of Christ and how we were in sin And, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. And realizing the fact that when Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah came, he came to pay the penalty for sin. He came to redeem us from the hand of the enemy, to break the power of sin over our lives. And we have victory in Christ Jesus. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His blood was shed for the remissions of our sins. And a lot of times I think sometimes we get what gets lost in the shuffle is that we forget what he endured and how he suffered for us to live. And this is why it is so important for us in the body of Christ that we get to the place to where, you know, we fall in love with God all over again. We, you know, he loved us first and he loved us more. And we got to get to that place, saints, that we're saying, yeah, God, you love me. You know, anytime you're going through trials and tribulations and things are not going your way and you begin to think back, I want you just always to take a minute to say, God, you love me. God, you love me. God, you love me enough that you was willing to sacrifice your very best for me. God, you love me enough that you sent your only begotten son that I might live, that I might have life, that I might have life more abundantly. You sent your son to die for me to break the power of sin over my life, to break the power of death over my life. Because you love me. You thought I was worthy. You see, people in the natural realm, they will cast your side. People have suffered from a spirit of rejection from parents, relationships, and different things like that. And they go through this spirit of rejection and they go through life feeling rejected. But I want you to understand that when it says, for God so loved the world, God says, I have to provide my very best so that you can live. And it shows his love for us because when people look at what Jesus had to endure, how he was beaten, how he was brutalized, how he was tortured, that we might live. You know, it talks about it in, go with me to Isaiah 53. And it talks about it in Isaiah 53, of what he endured. Oh my gosh. And what he suffered for us. I want you to be able to embrace the love of God, the love of Father God, and how much he loved us. Because it tells us, and understand that in Isaiah 52 of the Word of God, it says in verse 13, it says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And as many were astonished at thee, it says his visage, his face, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. He died a horrible death. He was beaten. And you know, if anybody's seen anyone that has better been bruised and beaten, how they swell up their face, their eyes, and all of those things, he endured all of that for us. So that we could live. And understanding the very essence that when Jesus endured and went through all of this suffering, he was a suffering Savior. And we need to get, you know, we get so caught up in our little pity parties and how things are for us and how rough and hard things are for us. We lose sight of the fact that what Jesus endured for us on the cross at Calvary was brutal. It tells us in Isaiah 53, verse number 1. Let's go there, saints. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It says, he is despised and rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He said he was despised and we esteemed him not.
Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He did nothing wrong. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. What Satan does, he comes to deceive people into believing that healing and deliverance is not possible. We need to understand and embrace that what Jesus did, what Yeshua did for us on the cross at Calvary, was complete. What we have to do is get to the place that we come in alignment with God's word and realize that I have been forgiven. I have been redeemed. The power of sin has been broken over my life. I no longer have to live in bondage to sin or captivity because of what Yeshua, what Jesus did for me on the cross at Calvary. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He shall put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And by shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. When he was on the cross, it was about you. When you look at, you know, we've lost sight of the magnitude of what he had to endure and what Father God was willing to do to redeem us so that we could have life, so that we could be redeemed, so we could walk in liberty. He was acquainted with all of the suffering and all of the sorrow and all of the grief. And when Jesus walked the earth, it says in Acts 10:30, he said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, because God had anointed him to deliver and to set the captives free, because people were in bondage, people were in captivity in the biblical times. And even today, we have even more people that are in bondage and captivity. And we are not preaching the power of the resurrection because we don't talk about it enough. We don't even consider that the purpose of preaching the gospel is the good news to let people know that God loves you, that you can be forgiven, and that the power of sin can be broken over your life, and you can live in liberty. You can live in freedom. Why? Because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The ransom has been paid. When the ransom is paid, the captive, they have to let you go. They have to let you go. That's why there's power in the blood. That's why there's power in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And recognizing the fact that, you know, people place so much emphasis on the Easter bunny and rabbits and all of these things instead of recognizing that it's not about the bunny. Jeez. Satan is such a master of diversion. And when you look and you see, you don't see chocolate crosses and things like that. You see the Easter bunny. Because you understand that the actual Easter celebration is associated with paganism. Yeah. You know I'm going to tell it. And we get caught up in the spirit of the world. And a lot of the things that we look at and we consider is that we fail to realize what the Word of God declares and what the Word of God says.
you know, in a lot of the traditions and things that we have were embraced and introduced both through Catholicism in the Catholic Church. You know, Good Friday and all those things, you know, I hate to bust some of your people's bubbles, but Jesus was not crucified on Friday. Oh, man, that's a big one right there. Let me say this. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, I'm going to be in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. And understanding the Sabbath, when the Sabbath, when the day end days occur according to Jewish tradition, according to biblical times, at 3 o'clock, Jesus finally said, it is finished. And you know what? Let's read this. Let's read this. In John chapter 19. Whew, man, this is all so good. I hope you're getting something from the saints. Pilate delivers Jesus to be crucified. It says in verse number 12, and it says, from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that the saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold, your king. But they cried out, away with him, and with him, and crucify him. Pilate said unto him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he them, therefore them to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto the place called the place of the skull, which is called the Hebrew Golgotha, and where they crucified him, two other with him on either side, and Jesus was in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and then put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said that I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts to every soldier to a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but let us cast lot for it, who shall it be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for many my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he unto the disciple, behold thy mother. And from the hour that the disciple took her into his own home, and after Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it on his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And the Jews therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. It was not the typical Sabbath. It was one of the high days of God's holy days. Understanding this. It was not the typical Friday Shabbat. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out their blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith the truth, that it might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews,
sought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wounded in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein nobody had never laid. They laid Jesus, therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. It was a high Sabbath, one of God's holy days, and you look and study in Leviticus. Realizing, Jesus said, I'm going to be in there for 3 days and three nights. If Jesus was crucified on Friday, you have a Friday night, then you have a Saturday day and a Saturday night, then it's Sunday. That's not 3 days. That's not three nights. This is how the enemy plays with the scripture and the word. And the church buys into it. I just dropped that in there to just let you know. And this is why a lot of people reject, because they say, well, if he was crucified on Friday, how is that 3 days and three nights? If he went in the tomb on Friday night, that's one night. Saturday night's two nights. He's risen. This is a part of the deception that the enemy uses based upon Catholicism. The Catholic Church has done so much to strip the Word of God of its power and its authority. And I will probably do a teaching on this to lay it out and explain it to you plainly. So I get a little, when people start talking about Good Friday and stuff, I realize the origin is just but the bottom line is this: he is risen. It says, on the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre, and seeth not the linen clothes is, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet he knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see if two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why are you weeping? She said unto him, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Yeshua standing, and knew not that it was Yeshua. And Yeshua said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? And whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where ye have laid him, and I will take him away. And Yeshua said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Glory to God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things. Then the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood at the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And there were disciples glad when they said, the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. And as my Father sent me, even so I send you. Realizing the fact that when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, he paid the penalty for sin. And the power of death was defeated at the cross, because it demonstrated that death could not hold him. Because he is risen, and because he's risen, we have been redeemed. We have life more abundantly because he loved us. Saints, we pray for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is Lord. His return imminent. Pray for your family members and your loved ones, that their hearts will be open to hear and to receive the gospel. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.